The Communist War on God. That's what we're going to talk about right now for a few minutes with Dr. Paul Kanger. He's written a book. It's called A Pope and a President, and it's a tremendous book on the subject of Ronald Reagan and John Paul II and how together they worked very hard to undermine Soviet influence in the Eastern Bloc, and ultimately it really helped pave the way to the end of the Cold War. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Thank you so much, Paul Kanger, for joining us again.
Hey, Jerry. Absolutely. Thanks.
You have written many books now on the subject of Ronald Reagan and also many books on the subject of communism. And this is a new one, and it's really terrific. Now, and I understand that 100 pages approximately near the introduction deal with this communist war on God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it is the great religious persecution of our time and maybe ever. I mean, these guys were God haters. They were absolutely vicious atheists. I mean, I think of the moment when a young Karol Wojtyła, who would become Pope John Paul II, when he was in Poland around 1943, 44, 45, and his people were being liberated, quote unquote, from the Soviet Red Army, by the Soviet Red Army, and some of the people around him, Jerry, they were cheering. They thought this was good. And Karol Wojtyła said, "No, no, no." He said, "You got to understand, these guys hate God even more than the Nazis did."
Wow.
You know, the Nazis were bad too, but they were a different kind of bad. You know, the Nazis were pagans. They were really messed up. They were into really weird stuff. But at least, I guess, and as much as this is a compliment, it's really not, they at least acknowledged some form of greater deity that was out there. But the Soviets, the communists, they were not just God haters, they were God deniers. And they could not be content with people worshiping freely or worshiping quietly or whatever. I mean, they tried to actually reverse and undo religious belief. They were hell-bent on it, and it was terrible. It was catastrophic.
I remember reading in college, I went to Tulane University and studied history back in the 1970s, and I remember this seminal moment. The young Lenin, about the age 15, was playing chess with somebody, and he had this cross on his, it was a medal on him, around his neck.
Necklace.
Yeah, necklace, yeah. Exactly, maybe made of string or something. And he took it off and he said, you know, I don't believe in this stuff anymore. And he kind of, you know, that was the beginning of his atheism, which then became a real hatred, as you say, towards God. How did the communists set about, let's say in the early days, once they seized power, you know, as the Bolsheviks and so forth, once they managed to take over Russia, how did they systematically persecute the church?
Well, and in the case of Lenin, I mean, it really started with him. I mean, Marx called religion the opiate of the masses. He was writing, he was using words like abolition of religion in the Communist Manifesto, he and Engels, back in 1848. But it was really Lenin and the Bolsheviks that put this into practice and put it into brute practice. Lenin, ironically, his parents were, you know, very decent, civil, God-fearing, and in fact quite religious people. His father, whose name was Ilya, was pious. He was even pretty conservative, much like the father of Friedrich Engels in that respect. And Lenin's father died when he was about 15 years old. In fact, that's a good question, when exactly he died, because it might have been right after that. I wonder if it's connected to his father. I never really thought about this. But Lenin did later brag, as you said, you learned this at Tulane, that in his teenage years, he said he boasted that he removed the cross that he wore around his neck, and he said, "I tossed it in the rubbish bin."
Hmm.
I tossed it in the rubbish bin. And, you know, and as an adult, as the leader of Bolshevik Russia, he would say, "There's nothing more abominable than religion. Nothing more abominable than religion." He called religion a necrophilia, if you
Ooh.
Can imagine that. It's unbelievable.
That's, I mean, like having sex with the dead.
That's right. That's right. I use that quote a lot when I speak in public, especially to college audiences. my wife always tells me not to use it, right? She says, that's gross, that's disgusting. And I said, well, I said, but you have to use it, because it just doesn't suffice to say that Lenin said terrible things about religion, right? I mean, Lenin sat around and thought of one of the worst possible things he could imagine a human being doing to another, and that's necrophilia. And then he said, that is religion, right? That is religion. And he compared religion to a form of venereal disease. So, I mean, this guy, I mean, he really despised religion. And, of course, Stalin was like that. The cultural Marxists, Herbert Marcuse, Wilhelm Reich, all of those guys. But you probably know, I know the late D. James Kennedy did, the case of Dr. Richard Wormbrand.
Reverend
Richard Wormbrand.
He came and spoke here at this church, and he started Voice of the Martyrs. Sure.
That's right. Yeah, he started Voice of the Martyrs, and he wrote the great book Tortured for Christ,
mm-hmm.
about the time he spent in Romanian prisons. And he said, in fact, I have the exact quote in front of me. There is not the slightest doubt that Lenin was dominated by Satanist ideology, unquote.
Wow.
And I can't confirm that. I mean, that's another thing altogether to say that he was like into Satanism, but I think the idea that he was dominated by Satanist ideology, in the sense that one might argue that, you know, the form of communist ideology he pursued was almost satanic in its hatred of God, its dedication to what was evil. I think you could certainly at least make that case. And Wormbrand, I mean, you know, Wormbrand was in prisons where Wormbrand said, I actually had communists laughing out loud and saying, we are the devil, we are the devil, while they were torturing me. And he talked about one prison that he was in where they laid out some of the religious prisoners on crosses. They bound them on crosses, and then they laid them on the floor, and they made all the religious prisoners go by and urinate on these men. Wormbrand even talks about the prison of Petesti in Romania, where Catholic priests at the prison were made to take human excrement and consecrate it in the form of hosts, and serve communion to people that way.
Oh my!
Yeah, I mean, Wormbrand said one of his captors said to him, "I've lived for this moment all my life, where I could express all the evil and hatred in my heart upon you." And one more Wormbrand statement. He said, "All the tortures and pains in Dante's Inferno are nothing compared to the tortures that occur in communist prisons."
Huh.
And so Wormbrand became convinced, and he actually wrote a book called Marx and Satan.
Yeah.
He actually became convinced that you know, this was a literal demonic ideology. And to bring us back to Reagan and John Paul II, I think they agreed. I don't think they would have used the word demonic, but John Paul II's church, they called 1937 encyclical Divini Redemptoris, they called communism a satanic scourge. Mm. scourge. So it couldn't be any worse than it was.
Going back to the necrophilia comment from Lenin, it's ironic that he was talking about, you know, how Christians worship this dead God. That's what he's referring to, right? Is that the idea that
right.
Jesus didn't rise from the dead? And here, after he died and his body was, you know, entombed, and then all these millions of people, I suppose it would be over the time, would be visiting it. And Malcolm Muggeridge at one time renounced his bourgeois upbringing and he got rid of his marriage license and so forth as part of bourgeois society and joined the communists and went over to Russia. And he said one of the things that really just shocked him was seeing an old babushka or whatever, an old lady visiting Lenin's tomb, and she made the sign of the cross. You know,
yeah.
She was,
right, right.
And he was like, well, "Wait a minute!" You know, and then by the way, Malcolm Muggeridge went on to become a very strong Christian later. And then, in fact, there's a classic interview with Bill Buckley and Malcolm Muggeridge on the incarnation of Jesus Christ. But go on.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Yeah, no, there was at the actual tomb of Lenin. It's actually a shrine. I mean, they actually
yeah, which means it's religious.
Shrine.
Yeah,
right. That's exactly right. And I'm trying to remember. I could easily find it online. But there, the actual language that's at the bottom, written in Lenin's shrine, says something like, "Here rest the remains of the immortal Lenin, the immortal Lenin," which is ironic because, you know, these people who claimed that there was no such thing as a divinity, and I got the Lenin quote in front of me right now, "All worship of a divinity is a necrophilia." And I don't know that he means dead God, Jerry. I think he means it more in this way, quote, "Any religious idea, any idea of any God at all, any flirtation even with a God is the most inexpressible foulness. It is the most dangerous foulness. It is the most shameful infection," unquote. And the Russian scholar and translator James Thrower says that Lenin, the Russian word he's using here for infection, refers to VD, a venereal disease.
Oh wow!
And he said, and he also wrote in a letter to Maxim Gorky, "There can be nothing more."
Are you there?
It's not necessarily It's not necessarily dead God. I think he just believes that there's nothing worse in the world than religion. And yeah, Malcolm Muggeridge saw exactly that when he went to Russia in the late 1920s. In fact, Jerry, one of the things he said that snapped him out of his atheism was when he saw just the vicious, nasty, hateful treatment of religion in these gorgeous old cathedrals, Russian Orthodox Church, that were converted into anti-God museums. And he said when he saw the horrible treatment of religion, the mockery and everything, it was so disgusting him. It was so bad. It was so over the top that Muggeridge said that he believed that the seeds of his path back to Christianity, which would take, you know, like 40 years before they fully germinated, he said he believes that it all started way back there in those anti-God museums that were once some of the most beautiful churches in the world.
That's fascinating because here's a, you know, great thinker. By the way, the Kremlin itself, isn't that a beautiful church, and isn't that named after, what, St. Basil or something?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean,
Those are all church towers. You know, you don't...
They are.
As in Christian church towers. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes to wrap up here. What did Stalin, what did Lenin, what did they actually do? I understand that they killed lots of people that were Christians because they were Christians.
Oh man, I mean on and on and on. You probably need me for a day just to go just to go through all of that. But I mean, churches were destroyed, they were reconstituted into workshops, storage houses for grain, you know, offices, communist clubs, you know, atheistic museums. One of the most infamous examples, the Cathedral of Christ the Savior, which, God bless him, was rebuilt under Boris Yeltsin. It's now rebuilt. People can look it up online and see this history. It's positioned like on the banks of the Moscow River near the Kremlin. It was built by one of the czars in commemoration and in thanks and gratitude to God for the Russians defeating Napoleon in 1812.
Oh.
And Stalin had it dynamited in the 1930s.
Wow.
To make room for a new sacred Palace of Soviets, as he called it. You can look this up, Google Palace of Soviets. You can see the whole design. You can see the like 100-foot-high statue of Stalin that they were going to erect in front of it. And eventually the Palace of Soviets was never constructed because it kept getting flooded, maybe by an act of God, right?
Huh.
But they ended up putting a big, giant Soviet-era municipal swimming pool on the site. But Yeltsin rebuilt the church in the 1990s. So I go on and on and on and on. But that's just one example with mere churches. I could talk about church bells, too, how they smashed those, banned them, melted them down into useful things, as Stalin decreed.
And they killed tens of millions. They killed tens of millions of people, under communism.
Most of all.
Was a lot of that because of religious persecution? Or
part of it? And I think a lot of it, you know, like Dostoevsky said, right? If God does not exist, everything is permissible.
Yeah.
So, you know, here were men that believed that there was no eternal consequences for whatever evil they did, because, you know, they wouldn't be published in an afterlife because there's no such thing as an afterlife.
Right.
You just become, you know, food for the worms when you die.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the atheism was in so many ways, numerous ways, a central part to everything that they did.
And the communists ended up being some of the greatest mass killers in the history of humanity. Paul Kanger,
right.
Thanks so much for being with us. Again, the name of your book is A President and a Pope, or is it A Pope and a President?
A Pope and a President. A Pope and a President.
And Vision,
John Paul II and Ronald Reagan. Yeah.
VisionandValues.org for more information. Thank you, Dr. Kanger. Always a pleasure.
All right, Jerry. Anytime.
All right. Thank you now. Sure. Bye-bye.